Hare Krishna. Well, yesterday we had a really wonderful experience in Tirupati. The whole GBC body in about six cars went up the hill to see Balaji. And both the parikrama, both the pilgrimage, as well as the association were really inspiring. It was an extraordinary thing to actually see Balaji, to see Tirupati itself and all the other accompanying places. And it was also a really wonderful association, team-building exercise, although that's not what it was designed to be. It was just parikrama with going with the GBC members, and we left it quarter to five in the morning and got back somewhere around noon. And it's just, we're just at the foot of the hill, and it's a 10-mile drive just up the hill. That's not far. And it was wonderful just to be together and enjoy the spiritual atmosphere of Tirupati, the darshan, hear the pastimes we're hearing nonstop. Hearing the chants of Govinda, 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 as what they chant for Balaji. And what was specifically inspiring was the cleanliness, organization, devotion that one sees up there in Tirupati. Srila Prabhupada was also here. He was very impressed. I was told he wanted New Vrindavan to be organized like that. ISKCON certainly has, could have a lot to learn. It was like walking into another planet. It was like walking out of India. I'm sure many of the listeners have been to India. This isn't like the India that you know. When we went through the security gate just to get onto the road, it goes up and one road goes up and another road goes down. So there's two separate roads. There's no opposing traffic in either direction. It was it was wonderful. I just could see that there was not a piece of garbage, dirt, or waste on the road going up. And when we came into Tirupati, it was like that. This is a whole, it's a whole town up there, 25,000 employees and people. It was clean, it was neat, it was super, super organized, it was very devotional, people were very, very nice, very kind to us. Of course, we got the VIP treatment. Unfortunately, I couldn't take pictures inside. They wouldn't have any kind of electrical item, what to speak of a camera. And we didn't just see Balaji, but we saw so many other things and parts of the complex. There are pictures that we did take of holy places outside of the temple complex, but we received prasadam there. When we sat for our VIP darshan in an area that was in the area where Balaji's daily marriage take place. Of course, the pastime, if the devotees want to hear pastime, you can listen on the articles part. Rupesh Vagrangapu, the vice president here, told me about the story as we were coming back down in the car. And I'm outside, actually, a part of that is my sort of thought for the day, because it was such a wonderful meditation for me as well. But just as we were waiting over there, there was someone polishing a silver spear. That was Balaji's spear, and they say that Balaji goes out every day at 1 p.m. to go hunting, and that's his hunting spear. Another very interesting thing is that when Balaji first was married, before he was a deity in the previous Kali Yuga, he was here in personal form, and he was married to his wife, Padmavati. Then when the wedding ceremony took place, now Balaji has a wedding on a daily basis. His wedding ceremony is being celebrated every day, but when the original wedding took place, he was asked, who is your family deity? And after thinking a little, he replied, Lord Nrisimhadev. So there's a temple of Lord Nrisimhadev also in part of the complex. And when we finally got in to see darshan, and we had a relatively long darshan for about 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, we were standing there, and I was about 2 meters away from Balaji. It was a deity room, and I was on the temple room side, and we were on the temple room side, and he was on the deity room side, and he's very big, not possibly as big as Jagannath, but he's our size, maybe bigger, and very, very powerful deity, because he's been there since the last Kali Yuga. That means he's been there for over 4 million years. And I was standing by a doorstep. Of course, I didn't know the significance of doorstep. I didn't stand on it, good thing. But I was standing on the temple room part. And then later on, as we were coming down, I heard the story of that doorstep, which really inspired me, showed me what devotion to devotees means, faith in devotees, and it was a meditation that's been with me since then, and I just thought I'd share that with you again, although you can hear Swar Gauranga also speak it on the other podcast. But it's about Kulishekhar Maharaj, and it appears that that doorstep is considered to be Maharaj Kulishekhar. And the story behind that is as follows. That, of course, Maharaj Kulishekhar was a very famous king. Srila Prabhupada often quoted his prayers. We also have a BBT publication, The Prayers of King Kulishekhar. And he's one of the Alvars. And he was in an adjoining kingdom, somewhat distant. And he's a great devotee, so his ministers were always afraid that he would leave the kingdom and take up full-time devotional service. He was always pining after coming to Tirupati. In other words, that if he came here, he'd never come back. So ministers, but the king was also a very good king, and they just wanted him to concentrate more on his kingly duties and not get distracted by devotional activities. So they would always arrange for devotees to be coming to the kingdom, so that way it would oblige the king to stay there. Every time he tried to leave, there would be a group of devotees coming with Harinam, and they would then they would make the king return from leaving, and he would discuss with them, and they would stay there in the palace. And then when they left, then they would arrange for another group. But the ministers were worried, well, how long can we keep on doing this, just bringing new devotees to the kingdom? Better if somehow or another we try to break the king's faith in devotees, and then he can concentrate on his duties. So they conspired, and one night what they did was, when some devotees were residing at the palace, then they stole the palace deity jewels, and they placed the palace deity jewels in the belongings of the devotees. And of course, when the pujari went to dress the deity in the morning and wake up the deity, then all the jewelry was gone. So they raised an alarm, and the king said, shut down the palace and search everyone, and let's see if anyone's got the jewelry. And of course, the jewelry was found with the devotees. So the ministers then pointed this out to the king. Well, you think that these are devotees, but actually they're thieves, and therefore better not put your faith and trust in them. And Maharaj Kulishekhar was very concerned by this allegation, but obviously by the events. And so after pondering, he called the ministers, called the devotees, and assembled the entire court. He had the devotees on one side and the ministers on the other, and then he called and says, go find the most poisonous snake in the kingdom. And they did, and they brought it put it in a cage, and placed it right in the middle of the court. And then the king addressed everyone, and it said that if devotees have become thieves, then certainly it's not worth for me to live any longer. But if devotees are not thieves, then certainly by the strength of their devotion, I'm protected from any kind of danger, including the poison of snakes. So I'm going to put my hand in that cage. Of course, everyone was very alarmed. They didn't want the king to risk his life, because he was such a pious and good king and good ruler. But still, Maharaj Kulikshekhar put his hand in, and instead of being bitten, then the snake backed off and bowed down before the king. And the king repeated that two or three times, and he said, this is confirmation that the devotees are not thieves. And with that, he left the kingdom. He just abandoned, and he left, and he came here to Tirupati, where he lived and served Balaji. And then, as far as the doorstep, well, he prayed to Balaji in a prayer that was similar to that of Uddhava in Vrindavan, is that I always want to have the dust of your devotees on my body, and I always want to be able to see your beautiful lotus face. So please let me be the doorstep between the temple room and the deity room, and in that way devotees will always be walking over me, and I'll always be able to see you. And I was privileged enough to be able to stand beside, good thing I didn't touch that doorstep, stand beside that doorstep, that Maharaj Kulikshekhar, a great devotee, and hear about this wonderful pastime of how much faith and emphasis we Vaishnavas should place in the mercy dust association of Vaishnavas and that of the Lord. It was my meditation all day yesterday, and although devotees may have heard it, who listened to the podcast on the articles section, but still I thought I'd share it as a good meditation for the day. Hare Krishna.